listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, where we are dedicated to awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. You know, when I was growing up, intuition was disparaged as something unreliable that women did, but which had no real merit. In recent years, even though intuition for all of us has been strengthening in us humans, we still haven't known how to rely on it. And today you're going to hear how my guest, Mae McCarthy, has followed her intuition to business success and abundant wealth as we talk about her 7 steps for financial abundance. So post your comments and questions on our blogs. You can find them at emotionalpro.com and on blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. You can also talk directly with me and my guest, Mae McCarthy, over our toll-free number, 888-498-0570. And you can sign up for Full Power Living's broadcast through subscription on iTunes. Since 1982, Mae McCarthy has co-founded and helped to grow 6 successful companies as large as $100 million in annual revenues. Think about that. See if you can get your head around $100 million. She's an author, speaker, university lecturer, and angel investor. She has become successful by implementing spiritual principles into her ventures, and it's her passion to pass her knowledge on to others. Author of a best-selling Path, The Path to Financial Wealth, 7 Steps to Financial Abundance, and you can find her at Mae McCarthy. That's MayMcCarthy, MayMcCarthy.com. So, Mae McCarthy, welcome to Full Power Living.
Oh, thank you, Eileen. It's delightful to be here.
So the thing that makes what you're talking about so legitimate and such a strong message is your amazing success. I mean, because it's one thing to tell people to follow your intuition and it will help you in business, but when you tell people that it's helped you garner millions of dollars, that's a real wake-up call. So let's start by the fact that the way you have done this is by taking on a partner, somebody you call your CSO. Tell us the story of you and your CSO.
Well, sure, I will. I discovered over 34 years of doing business that I had an access, much like Bill Gates and Oprah and Steve Jobs talk about, I have an access to this idea of an unseen intelligence that could guide me and direct me towards my goals. And as I played with it over time, what I discovered was that I could enable intuition and my subconscious to show up more often in more obvious ways if I actually had some goals and I could word them in the correct way. So as I discovered this, I decided to partner with that unseen intelligence, the source of my intuition, and I gave it the name Chief Spiritual Officer. I, as a CEO, surround myself in my C-suite with people whose advice I value. I have a Chief Financial Officer, a Chief Operations Officer, a Chief Information Officer, and they guide me and direct me with advice on the health of our company and the direction that we should take. And as I was going through this discovery process of having the most valuable advice show up from, you know, what I knew was the source of my intuition, I just decided to give it a name. So I called it the CSO, the Chief Spiritual Officer, and I meet with it every day, just as I would meet with a business partner to achieve the goals that I want for my life.
That just sounds so simple and delightful. So what you're offering is that everyone who chooses can also have a CSO advising them, and in most cases doing the heavy lifting. And what we need to do is consistently and deliberately work with our own CFO. And what you're showing people is how to partner with universal intelligence in order to move through life and create what it is that is in your heart to create. Mm-hmm. So What are some of the things we need to do in order to create this, in order to set this up?
Well, the first thing is to recognize that there is an intelligent source. I mean, many, many famous people have said so. And I think it stands to reason that if we, you know, trust that Bill Gates, Oprah, Steve Jobs, Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison, and the list goes on, that these people have in fact achieved some pretty monumental success, and we would like to achieve some success, whatever our definition of success is, that we can rely on this. So how do we partner with it, and how do we get it to show up more often in more obvious ways? Well, the first thing is to commit to this partnership. So you're going to need to actually schedule a meeting every single morning for about 25 to 30 minutes in the morning. And having it in the morning is very, very important, because what we want to do is use tried and true goal attainment techniques combined with this spiritual partnership. So the first thing to do is to set aside time in the morning to meet with your source of intuition. And you can actually call it by any name that you'd like. In my workshops, people call it, you know, God, divine intelligence, universal power. Some people have other names like Fred. I mean, whatever represents the ultimate advisor for you, that would be the name that you would give it. The first step in the seven-step practice is to, in your meeting area, which is not your bed, you will have some tools, and you'll have an uplifting book that describes stories about ordinary people having extraordinary experiences because of this unseen intelligence operating in their life. So you'll read something for up to 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, that puts you in a really receptive mood. And this is important because as you read stories about other people's successes that you would like to achieve, you're actually making it more welcome and familiar to you, so that you can start to believe that it's possible. You know, what's happened for other people can now happen for you and more. The second step is to actually write out a gratitude letter to your source of intuition, thanking, you know, this universal power for all of the things that you have and what you want as though you've already achieved it. And this is key. And this is where you can enable your subconscious and your intuition to really show up in a more obvious way. When you describe what you want as though you've already have it, and use those kinds of words, instead of saying, you know, I want to lose 10 pounds, you might say, I'm so grateful that I am physically fit, trim, toned, energetic, in a healthy, pain-free body that easily moves through life in a joyful way. Or if you can remember the last time you purchased a car, you might have talked about it and thought about it and wrote down comparisons about it and narrowed it down, test drove it, and narrowed it down to maybe one or two models. And what your subconscious and your intuition then did for you was start to point out that car driving around everywhere on the road. You never noticed that car before it was a goal. And that's the same kind of thing that we're doing with this practice. So you'll write down what you're grateful for as though you've already achieved it with gratitude. Then the next step is to read what you just wrote, that wonderful letter, out loud with emotion. And as you do that, you're lighting up that front part of your brain, and I'm sure you're familiar with, you know, the brain research that's gone on around the world that shows that when you light that front part of your brain up, it actually is helping you to focus and see more possibilities more clearly. And that's what we want to do. We want to have our subconscious and our intuition help us filter all of this data that's coming at us every day and deliberately point us along a path and along a direction to be closer to our goal, to making that our experience. And then finally, the morning meeting ends with picking one or two of your goals. And you should have a goal in every single major area of your life, your health, your finances, your relationships, your use of your skills and talents, your spiritual connection, and perhaps even recreation. But you should have a goal in every area of your life. Pick one or two of them that you can actually sit there and imagine seeing yourself in the completed goal. This is a technique that many professional and Olympic athletes use a lot, as well as professional musicians and even business people. What we see is the end result. If it's an athlete, they'll see themselves in the game, in the match, hitting the shot, shooting the basket. If it's a business situation, you might see yourself in that successful business meeting or sitting around a table in relationships that are harmonious with your coworkers and your managers. But whatever it is that your goal is, you'll see the end result of that and really feel what that completed goal is for you. And then that's the whole morning meeting. That takes 25 to 30 minutes. And then you get ready and go off and do steps 5 through 7 throughout the day.
That's a lot. Of course, I'm very interested in the emotion part and your step 3, read what you just wrote. You talk about reading it aloud and with emotion.
Right.
And what is the point of including emotion in this process?
Well, when you have gratitude and when you're reading with emotion, that does help you. That's a positive emotion. And so that also can affect how you view that completed goal. When you're thinking about something or speaking about something with gratitude, it not only helps you to focus and see more opportunities and possibilities, but it's a good feeling which for me ends up making, sort of turning me into a magnet. When I'm feeling positive and expecting good results, what ends up happening is I don't have as many negative blocks that will show up. See, if I'm worried about something or I see something as impossible or I'm doubting something, I'm going to see evidence that which I'm worried about or doubtful about is actually true. So reading it with emotion is just a sort of a magnetic force that's confirming for every bit of your intelligent body that this is in fact yours and makes you magnetic to see possibilities to achieve it.
Emotion also is energy in motion. So part of what we're also doing is feeding energy to our vision or goal. Is that, would you agree with that?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah. We are all energy. It's pretty much what we are.
Another thing that I wanted to ask you about is our signature on this show is to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Yeah.
And my observation as a therapist over the years is that we tend to look at our problems and focus our attention there rather than focusing on where we want to go. And it seems to me that your method really emphasizes that we focus on where we want to go.
Right. Well, it's my belief that whatever we put our attention and our intention on, whatever we put that energy towards, is what we're going to experience in our life. I mean, our words, thoughts, and emotions have an incredible prophecy for the way that we live our life. I mean, if you look at the life that you're living today, chances are you can see how you got there with your words, thoughts, and emotions. And it does take some discipline to get out of those habits of talking about what you don't want to happen in life and instead spending more of your time talking about what you do want.
But that brings up an interesting issue. What do you do if you're afraid of something or you're about to do something you've never done before and that elicits fear? Will this process just run right over the fear or what?
It is a process. So this happens every single day. When you're done with the morning meeting and you go out into your day, you're expecting and watching for what I call intuitive leads or leads from your spiritual partner and your source of intuition in your subconscious. And when you get an intuitive hit, an intuitive lead to take a step, I'll give you an example. One of my goals was to have a very healthy body. I am so grateful that I am physically fit, trim, toned, energetic, and a healthy body that is pain-free, eternally youthful, and increasingly more beautiful. I mean, it was kind of a fun goal statement.
Yeah.
And when I was finishing a meeting, I got this really strong thought of my sister. Now, intuition for me is going to show up as strong thoughts, sometimes with a picture in my mind. It's going to show up as a gut instinct or just an awareness. It might be a sign that I see, you know, something printed or someone will call me out of the blue and give me some information that might be helpful. Intuition can show up in a lot of different ways. So I knew that since I thought of my sister, I needed to contact her, and I was really close to her office, so I just stopped by. She was very happy to see me because she had a computer problem that needed to be fixed, and I helped her fix it. While I was there, she noticed this little tiny, tiny dot on the outside of my right leg, and she asked me what it was. And I was born and raised in Hawaii, and I'm fair, so I have a lot of freckles. And so I told her it was a freckle, and she said that she didn't feel that it was a freckle, and that asked if I would go see her dermatologist to have it looked at. And, you know, my rational mind, and Albert Einstein talks about a rational mind and an intuitive mind, and my rational mind started to jump right in to say things like, May, it's nothing, you've had that forever, don't worry, just dismiss her fear. But instead, what happened was my gut hurt. I felt this pain in my gut. And that was intuition saying, just do what she says. So I made the appointment, went to see the doctor. He told me it was nothing to be concerned about, absolutely nothing, that I could go ahead and go home. Now, my father was a surgeon, and he had taught all of his 10 children never to question the advice of a doctor, ever. They are smarter than you. This was a very deep-rooted belief. And I was scared to tell the doctor, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to cut that off. Because while he's telling me that, my stomach is hurting again. My gut instinct was telling me, you have to tell him to cut it off. But I had this fearful belief that, you know, you're not supposed to question a doctor.
Right.
But instead, I followed my intuition, and I said, you got to cut it off. And he was, you know, quite upset that I didn't follow his directions, but he did as I said. I came back a week later, Eileen, to a diagnosis of malignant melanoma Clark's level 3.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was shocked because it did not have any of the look or the, it just did not look like it should have had that diagnosis. It was too small. It was an anomaly. It was off the chart in terms of what would be a normal malignant melanoma Clark's level 3. So intuition saved my life. And the same kind of thing can happen for other people. If they're fearful, if they get an intuitive lead, a gut instinct, a thought, a feeling, and they're fearful about taking a step towards that goal, then just ask for another lead. Remember, this is a partnership. If you were in partnership with any human being and you didn't understand instructions that they gave you or advice that they gave you, you would ask for clarification. So you can do the same thing in this partnership. You just say, CSO, I need another lead. I don't know if this means I should take this step or I should tell this doctor this or I should go see my sister or I should make this effort. Whatever it is that you feel that you're getting a lead on, if you don't understand it or you're scared, just tilt your head up slightly, put your shoulders back and say, I don't know if this is from you, but if it is, I need another lead. And it'd be really nice if you could make it more obvious. And
yeah.
Then just wait. Just wait. The other thing you can do about fear is to use your spoken word to deny that fear. Often fear comes from being told something. I have one of my workshop attendees had said that for generations, her family had diabetes, and it was just a well-known fact in her family that everybody was going to have diabetes. That was just their genetic history. And she thought, no, You know, with healthcare today and with what we know about the causes of diabetes, I can have a different experience. But she had, you know, dozens of years of being told over and over and over again that you are predestined to have diabetes. So she had to deny that fear. And so she said things like, I deny that my family history has anything to do with my future health. I now go forward to be healthy, whole, and complete, where every cell in my body is filled with healed and perfect light. And she was guided and directed to the right doctors to do preventative maintenance and wellness. She lost a bunch of weight, and she is diabetes-free long after the age that most of her family had been diagnosed with diabetes.
That's really powerful.
Yeah, so you use a denial followed by what you want. You deny that that has to be your experience. You deny that, you know, another person or another situation has any power over your future success. And then you follow it immediately with the affirmation of what you want as though you've already achieved it. If you try and do an experiment and speak something out loud and think something at exactly the same time that's negative, your spoken word is what's going to get your attention. It'll always overpower and win out over what you're thinking. So you may have to say that denial and affirmation, you know, 5,000 times the first day. But the next day you'll only have to say it 4,990, and the next day it'll be less, and until you've trained your brain to believe that that's the truth.
I had a powerful experience like that. Then we're going to take our break. After the birth of my first child, I had an IUD inserted, and the doctor, who was a military doctor, told me that the military had bought the less expensive form of this IUD, and it was more likely to hurt me. Mm. And that I should go away and keep it in as long until I hurt so much I would come back and he would take it out. And it was so powerful that he said that. And I remember stopping on the side of the road after I left the office and just saying, you know, I just gave birth to a child using natural methods. I do not have to believe this man. And I didn't have those issues at all.
Yeah. But. Well, we're our the intelligence that we have in our brain, in our stomach, in our heart will tell us. I mean, we can have this universal intelligence activate information that we need to have as long as we have some really powerful goals for it to work on. And if your goal is that, you know, you're whole and complete and healthy, and that, or you're grateful that you're whole and complete and healthy, then it's always going to show up to point you in the right direction to make sure that that statement is true.
Oh, that's great. That's encouraging. I want to talk with you more when we come back from our break about the wording that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
My guest today is Mae McCarthy, who's a successful businesswoman and author of The Path to Wealth. We'll be right back. You're listening to Full Power Living.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, incredible communication that helps you create incredible kids by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com.
All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. I have just a few announcements. First, please visit emotional.com for two things. Download your copy of my free list of the signals of 7 everyday emotions, which will help you move toward mastery over the emotions that come up in your life. So while you're there, sign up to be on our mailing list so we can send our bi-weekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, we have a fascinating interview with Dr. Ya-Ling Liu, who is author of Everybody's Guide to Everyday Pain. She's a chiropractor who gives specific, very helpful advice about how to listen to and work the little pains we feel in our body so they don't become bigger pains. So today I'm talking with Mae McCarthy, who's a very successful businesswoman, an angel investor, a small business advisor, and also author of The Path to Wealth, which I recommend you run out and get a copy of. You will not be sorry, especially if you do what she says. So Mae, how are you setting this up to talk to your CFO or to ask for your help with your goal?
Well, when you write out, step two says to write out a gratitude letter to your CSO or whatever you choose to call the source of intuition. And you're writing out statements for what you're grateful for that you have. And you're writing out statements for what you're grateful for that you want, but you're wording those statements as though you already have them. And it's really important to describe the whole experience. In step four, I ask you to choose a goal or two to image and see yourself in the completed goal. So you might say, the first day that you write out, I'm so grateful that I have a new job, or I'm so grateful that I have a job I love. Well, when you start to image what that looks like, the description of the picture that you create in your mind's eye is going to change. So the next day you might say, I am so grateful that I have the perfect job where I use my skills and talents in really remarkable and fulfilling and satisfying ways, and I work with people who I really appreciate, and I feel appreciated and valued by my company. Together, we are able to help our customers accomplish their goals, and we are prospered in the process. I love my job. See the difference?
Yes, I definitely do. Yes.
So you describe it as, and you're not just describing the actual job, you're describing your experience with everything that's related to that job. The more you can describe what your experience is like, the more you're enabling and instructing your subconscious and intuition to point you in the direction to achieve that, to make that a reality.
Well, I know that Greg Braden, this goes along with him, Greg Braden in the, it's a book on Isaiah, I can't remember the title right now, but he talks about the steps to manifesting things, and his big point is that when you can feel what you're going to feel like to be where you want to be, then you'll be there. And that's what
right.
You're saying also, right?
It is. What ends up happening if you have a goal that's really large, I mean, it's beyond anything that you've ever experienced before. As you're writing it out every single day and reading it out loud and imagining it, you can sometimes feel a little fraudulent, you know, because your rational mind is trying so hard to get in the way. And if it can't think of a possibility for that to be a completed goal, it tries to prevent you from noticing possibilities. It prevents you from noticing your subconscious and intuitive messages to get you there. So this idea of repetition is in fact helping you to create a new belief of possibility. Some scientists will say that it's creating a new neural pathway of belief. And many, many successful people, from Muhammad Ali to Earl Nightingale and many others, have said that as soon as you believe that it's possible, that's when all of it kicks in and you're able to notice your intuitive messages and your subconscious pointing you towards achieving that goal. So that idea of getting to the point of a belief actually seeming possible gets your rational brain, your rational mind, out of the way, so that you can notice the intuitive messages. And I'll give you an example. I have a friend of mine that's a scientist. She's a brilliant scientist. Oh my gosh, she's, you know, works on cancer research and she's amazing and earns six figures. I mean, she's very, very well renowned. Well, her family and friends, ever since she was a little kid, have told her she's a very good singer. And so she decided that one of her goals would be that she would sing on stage and be paid for it. Well, after about a month of writing out her goal attainment statement, which is, you know, to use her skills and talents in remarkable ways, blessing audiences and feeling fulfilled and satisfied using this wonderful gift and being paid for it, she really felt like a fraud. So she called me up and she said, I think this goal is too big for me. I don't see how it's possible. I'm going to give up on it. And I said, don't do that. Keep writing it out, keep speaking it out loud, and keep seeing yourself on stage performing. Keep doing it because you are creating a new belief. Just keep it up because repetition will reap rewards. So after about 6 months of doing this, she was invited to a party, and it was a big fundraising party at a beautiful home, and she noticed a trio playing in the corner. There was a singer and two musicians, and she was watching the singer. And she, now remember, she's been seeing herself every single day in her mind's eye singing professionally in front of an audience. And she watched that singer and thought, you know what? I could do that. That could be me. I believe that it's possible. Wow. Now the floodgates of invitations to different events, all sorts of things happen. And she was at another event, and it was almost like she was illuminated with neon lights, because a man from across the room walked across the room through the crowd, came right up to her, put out his hand, and introduced himself. And during their conversation, he said that one of the things that he was charged to do was find entertainment for a community event that was going to be going on in the future. All of a sudden, her gut was almost yelling at her, saying, tell him you're a singer, tell him you're a singer. And so she just blurts this out, saying, I'm a singer. And he said, great, come audition. So she went to audition, and she got a part. Now, it wasn't a very big paying part, but it was proof. It was proof that this practice worked. And since then, you know, she's added different events that she sings at. She still loves being a scientist, and that's a job she's keeping. But on the weekends and occasionally for special events, she gets to sing and get paid for it and use her wonderful gift to share joy and delight with her audiences.
You do talk about consistency in your book.
Yeah, repetition ends up reaping rewards. It ends up building a new belief. When I was in college, my major is marketing, and I remember talking to my marketing professor, trying to get, you know, some insight on the right answer for a case study. And he finally giggled, and he looked at me, and he said, May, let me tell you the beautiful thing about marketing. There is no right answer. It's whatever you can help people to believe for themselves. Do you really think the Big Mac is better than the Whopper? Do you really think Miller has better light beer than Bud? Some people do, because they believe that message.
You know, one of the things I really liked in your book, and you said this many times, is, and it has to do with attention and responsibility, I guess. The CSO has a job of doing the heavy lifting. We need to turn it over and have faith that the CSO is going to do his or her part.
Right. So in this job, I mean, think about, and your listeners can think about this as well. I mean, if they work for a living, if they have a job, they were hired to use their skills and talents for a particular job. And what other people were hired to do, they were hired to do because they have skills and talents. Well, you would never walk into somebody else's area of responsibility and try to do their job that you weren't trained for. That's silly. And so in this partnership with your CSO, you have your job, and the CSO has the CSO's job. The problem is we keep trying to do the CSO's job. And let me give you an example. When you have a goal, many of us were taught in school and through our families and friends that if we have a goal, we should figure out every single step that it takes to reach that goal and take those steps. Well, that's only involving our rational mind of what's possible. In this partnership with your CSO, your job is to figure out what it is that you want and be grateful for having received it in advance. Really describe what that experience is of a completed goal. The CSO's job is to create the path for you to get there and give you one step to take at a time. And our rational mind freaks out about that because we want to know the outcome of any step that we take. And if we can't rationalize and know the outcome, it scares us, and it tries to talk us out of it. But what you need to do is just ask for another lead. If you don't feel comfortable taking the step, ask for another lead from your partner, and you'll get one. A great example of this, which you know, I have countless numbers in my book, as you know. But I travel a lot for work, and I was in Cleveland, and I have a routine. I get off an airplane, I get my rental car, I get my bags, and I go to my hotel and drop everything off, and then I drive to the closest grocery store to pick up water and protein shakes and things that I need for my stay. Well, as I'm sitting in the car, just about to go to the grocery store that's 5 minutes away, I get this very strong thought to drive to a grocery store that's 15 minutes away. Well, that didn't make sense. And my rational mind pops up and says, may. Don't even think about it. It's 9 o'clock at night. It's late. You don't need to be driving an additional 20 minutes out of your way. Your appointment is tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, which is 5 o'clock in the morning Seattle time. You don't want to be too tired. Just go to the grocery store that's closest. I mean, that's what our rational mind tries to do. But instead, yeah. I just stopped and said, I need another lead. If this is from you, I need another lead. And I felt this really comfortable feeling that was indicating I should just make the drive. And my intuitive mind kicked in. Well, you know, it's 9 o'clock here in Cleveland, but really it's only 6 o'clock in Seattle. You're not going to be able to go to sleep anyway. It's too early. Plus, everything that you want might be on sale at that other store. You know, it's not going to hurt you to just make the drive. Just go ahead and make the drive. So I did. And I parked the car, and as I'm walking in, who should be walking out at exactly the same time but a potential customer that I had met 6 months before at a trade show. And he wasn't returning any of my phone calls or my emails for an appointment. Well, we struck up this conversation. He asked about the growth of our company and who some of our customers were. And before we finished, he invited me to come and make a presentation to his company before I left town. Well, that led to another presentation and another presentation, and we secured a contract worth over $500,000. My goal that I had been writing about my business was that we easily and joyfully receive a minimum or more than $400,000 in revenue by a certain date. And we were able to accomplish that and more. So what I would ask anyone, including your listeners, is if you had the goal of a minimum of $400,000 of business revenue, would you really think that the first step is to drive across town at 9 o'clock at night in Cleveland, go to a grocery store? No, of course not. Of course not, because that is so far out of our rational mind's reach. This is why it ends up being so fun. It turns life into a game because you don't have to think of what the steps are anymore. You don't have to create the path to achieve your goal. You'll be guided on how to do that. And if you don't understand the step that you've been given, if you're too fearful to take the step, just ask for another lead. You can ask for 100 leads, but what you can't do is do nothing. Don't do nothing.
That's pretty clear. To my mind, our Earth is a big, giant school, and we all come here in order to learn, and you're pointing up also in working with the CSO the issue of, do we follow fear, do we follow faith? And your process actually teaches us to have faith in our intuition, which is really lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing that happens when you get an intuitive lead and you take the step, step six in my book says that you should celebrate. You should have a celebration partner. I have a couple, and I have a private Facebook group that for people that have been through the workshops or read the book, and they can join it. And it's a whole group of celebration partners. But when you get an intuitive lead and you take a step, even if you haven't reached your goal yet, it's cause for celebration. And what that's doing is reinforcing that this partnership is working, and it's providing you proof that it's working. Plus, celebrating is just so much fun. It's so much fun, and it enables you to recognize that what's happened before is going to happen again, and this partnership is working for your benefit.
Having had just a few of those kinds of things recently, I would also add that it's so exciting when something you would never thought of yourself but is for your good and often mm-hmm. brings good to other people, too. It's so exciting when it happens. You want to share it with somebody.
Exactly. And I've told people, because the question I get often is, well, you know, none of my coworkers or my friends, you know, practice this kind of goal attainment practice. And so it's hard for me to find a celebration partner. And I ask them, first of all, to think of somebody that they know is very, very supportive of them. And just call them up and say, you know what, I'm doing a new prosperity practice, and part of it is celebrating when good things happen. Could we be celebration partners? And when something happens for you or something happens for me that we want to share, let's just text the word celebrate to each other. And that way, when we have a free moment, we can get on the phone or on Skype and celebrate, you know, what's happened and support each other. And then, of course, you know, we have a Facebook group that people can do that as well. But that celebrating, that having someone else support you, that idea of having two or more people that are really rooting for your success also helps to build confidence. It's proof for all of us. When you have something good that happens and I get to celebrate with you, what that's telling me is, wow, this is working, and what's happening for Eileen that's good can also happen for me.
You're listening to Full Power Living. We'll be right back.
Would you parent your child if he or she were a foreign exchange student? As a host for an exchange student, you'd have five main jobs to do. Those are the same five jobs important in raising kids. People around the world have used this approach to raise kids who are self-directed, make great decisions, and are immune to peer pressure. Get your copy of the Exchange Student Model for Parenting, written by me, Eileen Dillon, now available on Kindle. As a 41-year marriage and family therapist, a single, married, step, adoptive, and grandmother, I've got a thing or two to tell you that's going to lighten your load as a parent and help you create incredible kids who will become amazing adults. Go to Kindle.com and download the Exchange Student Model for Parenting today.
In case you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Mae McCarthy, who's author of The Path to Wealth, who's grown six successful companies in a variety of industries, with businesses growing up to 250 employees and with over $100 million in annual revenues. Mae, You also talk about resolving conflicts. And you say it doesn't mean that you have to give in to another person's demands, but more to the point, it gives you an opportunity to open your heart, come from a place of love, and bring your intentions into alignment with the highest good for everyone involved.
I believe that there doesn't have to be, you know, someone that's right, someone that's wrong, a winner or a loser, that there can be wonderful resolutions and situations that end up being something went online. Okay, sorry about that. But we can end up having situations that resolve themselves so that everyone benefits from it. I'm a real big believer in that. And, you know, I've had in business often when you are a, young company that's growing really fast and might be taking some business customers from other larger companies, it's not uncommon to use the legal system to try and block your competitors. And I've had that happen a few times. And what I generally do is use my words, thoughts, and emotions, first of all, to describe what I want. And that is a resolution to this legal matter where that there's more than enough business for all of us and that we are all thriving and prospering and that customers are being blessed with the products and services that they require or desire and that everyone is operating in harmony. So I know that seems, in the midst of, you know, getting sued or trying to have a legal issue slow us down, what that seems is, you know, a little, you know, too loving in many cases.
Yes.
But it works. If you are filled with fear and doubt and resentment and anger, imagine yourself as, you know, a bottle of water. If you're completely filled up, you have no room to receive the good things that you want. So you have to make sure to eliminate anything that's taking up room that could be replaced by what you want to experience. So again, spending time really focusing on what you want the outcome to be. I am so grateful that this matter now resolves and dissolves without delay, and that all legal expenses that I've paid are easily restored to us in remarkable ways, and that all customers that are the right customers for our company are now buying services and being served by our company in wonderful ways, and that all of our products and services operate in a superior way, and everyone is blessed by it. I mean, focusing on what you want the experience to be is going to attract that to you. So you bless the situation. You don't hold the animosity or unforgiveness towards whoever might be bringing up this conflict. You just send love and an idea that there's more than enough business, that there's an easy resolution, that it can be done in a peaceful way, because that's what you want. This is about your experience and what you want. And I can tell you, when I've used that technique, I've had attorneys that have worked for me who have been in the industry over 40 years, and they just shake their head because of what seems like miracles happening in terms of the resolving of the conflict. They've never experienced something like we ended up having happen. And I'm confident that it's because I have indicated and spent more time describing what I want to experience versus all of the fearful possibilities.
And you know, one of the things that really jumped out at me as I was reading your book, and you mentioned it here too, is how you go forward and you really ask for exactly what you want. For example, in a legal issue, you ask that your fees be restored.
Yeah.
I don't think that people think about that very much, you know, like what I really want is I want this to go away and I want my money back.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because when you know that your source of intuition and your source of supply doesn't have to come through a specific channel, then that restoration can come in any way that you want. I mean, it doesn't have to come from the people that are providing a lawsuit. I had one lawsuit where they sued us because they were putting pressure on another company, and they knew that during the lawsuit we wouldn't do business with that company, just because, you know, we didn't want to get involved, and so that was putting pressure. Well, the lawsuit did dissolve and resolve very, very easily. A solution for everyone that was good came up, and that other company ended up giving us money to pay for all of our legal fees.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this would not be something that the rational mind would come up with. This was all part of the CSOs giving us intuitive insights to come up with a very unusual solution proposal that really was not common. I mean, we couldn't find another case like it, but what came up as an idea for a solution that could be for everyone's benefit did in fact turn out to be an excellent solution for everyone, and all of us were blessed by it.
I just want to get a couple points here. You're talking about business and wealth, but these seven steps can actually be used in any part of life. A stay-at-home parent, for example, can use them to deal with the ups and downs of family life. It can be used everywhere, and I think that's really important, especially for those of you who are listening, to know that this isn't just about building a business. This is about creating your life.
Yeah, it's every major area of your life. I have a number of workshop attendees who have the hardest job in the world, which is to raise a family and keep everything in their family life operating in harmony and order. And they use the technique as well to describe what they want. They want harmonious relationships with everyone in their family. They want to be healthy and filled with vitality and energy. And to be creative and have overflowing abundance to not only, you know, pay for all of their living expenses, but also their giving and entertainment expenses and more. So these are all experiences that you can describe as though they're already completed, and then see how your source of intuition ends up guiding you and directing you to take the steps to make those goals a reality.
Oh, great. Before we end here, I would like you to tell how they could enroll in your course, and also ask you if you have any final words, something you want people to take away and mull over today.
Sure. Well, first of all, if you go to maymccarthy.com, that's maymccarthy.com, you can click on the events tab and go to any of the workshops that happen all over the country. You can also go to the store tab and see what online programs are available and are coming up. And for your listeners, Eileen, I'm happy to give them the first three chapters of the book for free. They can download that at maymccarthy.com and see what they think. And if they like it, it's available at all online retailers. You're welcome. And the thought that I would like to leave with your listeners is that there is nothing too good for you to have. This is an incredibly abundant universe, and your having more of what you desire does not diminish anybody else from having what they desire. There can be abundance and prosperity and harmony and health for all of us. And that when you see someone having success, you should celebrate, because that means that you can have the same kind of success or more. Just use your words, thoughts, and emotions every single day to describe what you want your experience to be, and it will figure out a way to manifest in your life.
Wow, I feel good just listening to that. Okay, thank you. Well, I really want everyone I know and love to read your book, The Path to Wealth. I appreciate that it's a short, simple, to-the-point offering, just as this discussion has been today, that you give instructions and tips, and you map out the path for success that incorporates our emotions and lets all of us be successful. And I really appreciate your dedication to offering that to your fellow human beings. And as well, thank you so much for offering us your time and being with us here on Full Power Living today, as well as your wisdom, your time and your wisdom.
Well, Eileen, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
So remember that Mae McCarthy's book is The Path to Wealth, and her website is maemccarthy.com. Join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, which is noon Eastern Time, for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living, including next Thursday when I talk about Everybody's Guide to Everyday Pain with chiropractor Dr. Ya-Ling Liu. You will love her practical, common-sense approach to working with your body. So join us next Thursday and invite your own friends and family. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media is our producer. I'm very grateful to you, Paul, for years of sharing this program with me. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.